Thank you, Susan. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all this morning as we come together in this place to praise God and today to talk about Jesus a little bit. Several announcements for you, and I would call your attention to the bulletin to be sure you pick up all the things that we might have missed at announcements. But there are a lot of ways to be involved. And one of those coming up in November is Thanksgiving in the Park. And our church is providing gloves for that event. And what we would ask is that you would just make a donation towards the gloves out in the narthex. The gloves are $20 a pair. And if that seems too much, you can just add to that. And we'll add it all up and take care of the gloves for everyone in the park. Crop Walk is Sunday, October 20th, and you can sign up for either to walk or rock or just to support someone. And that really helps with food insecurity in Boulder County. So sign up for that if you'd like to be a part of it. Spooktacular is coming, and I can't wait to see it. I hear it's quite the event here at this church, and I'm already trying to figure out how good my trunk might be, what we can put and what we can come up with. So that'll be a fun time. If you have a car you want to decorate, please let, I don't know who knows that, maybe Larissa, but whoever, let people know. I don't know who's in charge. Susan is in charge right there. Susan, raise your hand real high. You're kind of new. People might not know you. If you've been wondering how you can help a spooktacular, all kinds of ways, you would love to see them after church, wouldn't you? So see her after church. One of the other things I want to call your attention to is coming up in October on the Saturday, the 26th. Mountain View will be hosting the organizer of the Western Jurisdiction for Reconciling Ministries. And we're doing this because one of the things that the church council came up with after our statement came out was we need education. Because some people have asked about that. Doesn't mean we'll do it or not do it, but it means we're going to learn about it. And that's all day here on the 26th. There's no cost, but you need to sign up because other churches are also invited to this information session. And we want to make sure that you all get on the list quickly. So if you want to find out more about Reconciling Ministries, sign up out in the narthex. There's a couple of sheets, one on the bulletin board, one on the welcome table, so that we know that you're coming. If you want to know more about that, feel free to ask me or any member of the inclusivity committee. Whew. And there's a lot more happening too. A lot more happening. You don't want to miss out, so make sure you take your bulletin, take it home, stick it on your fridge so you know what all is going on here. Let's take a moment to welcome each other. Stand up, greet each other, maybe say hi to someone you've never met before.
Morning. If you would please. Wow. You guys are really friendly today. If you would please join in the congregational introit, we're going to do verse 4. I will also do verse 4 this week with you. Verse 4 of O Spirit of the Living God.
So shall we know the power of Christ who came.
which makes thy children whole, till perfected by thee we reach creation's glorious goal. And if you'll now join me responsively with the call to worship. Let us start this service well by reminding ourselves that it is not we who chose Christ, that we are not here because of our goodness, that we are not here to enlighten ourselves, that we have not come to be entertained, please stay standing as we sing our hymn.
You can be seated. If you have any other kids that want to come on up, I invite them now. Oh, good. I see Zayden and Aaliyah coming up. Walker, come on up. Okay. Jameson's here too. Yay. Okay, guys, did you guys hear what Pastor Stephanie said we were going to talk about today in church? Did you hear what she said? She said Jesus. What do you guys know about Jesus? What do you know? Tell me something. He spreads love. That's a good one. What do you know, Jameson? He's God's only son. That's another one. Anything else? How about when was Jesus born? Anybody know? What? Say it. Christmas. That's right. And we've learned a lot from Jesus, haven't we? So we're gonna talk about Jesus today a little bit, but I also want to talk about our acolytes. So many of you up here have been acolytes for a while, and a lot of other ones of you are waiting for your turn, right? When you get just a little bit bigger. But what do you think acolytes have to do with Jesus? What do you think? Okay, acolytes light the candle of God. Thank you, Julia. That is exactly right. Do you guys know that the word acolyte, it comes from a very ancient Greek word that means helper? So acolytes are helpers. So you guys help during service, just like Julia said, by lighting the candle of Christ. That's right. In the Bible, we hear Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Have you guys ever heard that? We've talked about that, how Jesus is the light. Yeah, so he says, I am the light of the world. So our candle reminds us of Jesus, right? It's our Christ candle reminding us that is he is here. You guys walk up with the candle and bring it in. Do you guys know what you are doing there? You are reminding everybody in here that Jesus is part of our church service, right? He is with us while we worship. He is all around inside this building right now while we are worshiping. So you guys are bringing in the candle, and it's symbolizing to all of us and all of our congregation members that Jesus is coming into the presence of this worshiping community. Pretty cool, huh? But now I ask you guys, is Jesus only in this church? No. Do we see Jesus outside of these walls? We do. We can find Jesus everywhere, right? So at the end of the service, you guys take the light from the candle, the light of Christ, and you guys walk out with it. Do you know why you do that? You do that because it symbolizes that Jesus is for everyone, right? He is all out in the world for everyone. So we are walking out the light of Christ into the world and into our lives for the rest of the week. So that even when we're not at church, when we're not here, when we don't listen, when we're not listening to Pastor Stephanie teach us or listening to me in Sunday school, Jesus is still a part of your life, right? So that's the important job of acolytes. Important part in our worship service. So today we're going to welcome a couple of new acolytes to our schedule here. I have some acolyte pens to give you. Those of you who have been acolytes for a while, you've gotten some of these before. But we want to welcome Julia as a new acolyte. Here, Julia. And Isis gets to be a new acolyte. We also get to welcome Brian, too, but he is not here today, so I'll save this for him. But I hope you guys continue to find ways to help us in our worship service and help us with leading that light of Christ, right? Can we say a prayer, you guys? Say, hey, God, thanks for Jesus. Help us to learn and to love Jesus always. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen.
Thank you.
I hear they're cooking today, so that's why they're in a hurry to get down there and cook. Make some for all of us. We come to a time where we share prayers, and I've had people ask me about this, and so I just want to let you know that, yes, we do care about you, and we care about your prayers, and you'll notice on the prayer cards, if you check the box, we will put them in the bulletin next week. We're just doing that to make sure that we have people's permission and understanding before we put them in there, so feel free to say your prayer and put a check mark, and we will make sure it ends up in the bulletin. We come to this time of prayer when we stop. And we look around and we lift each other. We come together as community. And I invite you now to join me in this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come. We come to this place, to this time, to learn, to hear, to share, to greet one another. We come to this time, to this place, to learn, not just the children, but all of us, to learn about you and about your Son. To understand his works in this world and how he encourages us to be a part of them. We come to this place to question, because that is truly how we learn. We come to this place to understand. We come to praise you. We know that this day is filled with joy as we watch our children run out excited to learn about you. But we also understand that there are people who this day bring hurt. Hurt of loss or grief, of pain, of need of healing. And we ask that you would pour out your spirit in those places, that those who need your touch will feel it, that we will be guided and directed as we are to reach others. We come to this place this day to stop, to take a moment from our world and to refuel, to be energized, to be ready, ready to reach out into the world, to just take that sigh, that deep sigh that is beyond words, that you know and understand as you look within our hearts, Help us today to understand the gift that you sent us, the gift of your Son. Help us to remember him as we remember together the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to a time of offering, I would invite you to think about the gifts that you bring this morning. Your monetary gifts, of course, but your other gifts, the gifts that God has given you to share with us all. For some, it may be the choir or the organ or the piano or taking care of our children or taking care of our building or reaching out in mission or... What gift do you bring, and what gifts will you offer back? Some of our youth are going to offer you their gifts this morning. Will the ushers please come forward? Thank you.
Thank you, God, for your many blessings this day. We take so many things for granted in our lives. Plenty of food, water, and other creature comforts in our beautiful environment. Help us to be mindful of all these things and helpful to others who are less fortunate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture today is from 2 Philippians verses 1 through 11, and it's found in page 954 of your pew Bible. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. I enjoyed every moment of it. Weren't they wonderful? Remember, we've talked about this. I know over the years you were all trained not to clap when the choir's amazing, but sometimes it's okay. This would have been one of those times, because I could feel you all going, oh, no, we can't. You can, really. If you feel it, do it, all right? It's okay. Now, sometimes, though, we go, oh, and we're in a deep and quiet place, and we don't want to clap, but when you feel it, do. And that was beautiful. Thank you. And thank you for being here with us this morning. We are in the series about back to basics, and I kind of wondered, because I know that you all are sophisticated, studied up group, and maybe you didn't need to get back to basics. But today, well, not today, Friday, the Wall Street Journal backed me up on this. There was a piece in their religion section, and I felt vindicated. If you've had any question, if the Wall Street Journal's on your side, you're good. I was surprised you didn't send me this, by the way, those of you who send me things. But this is what I read. If someone told us that they found their sixth grade science class or their sixth grade history class to be dull and overly simplistic, and then they decided to stop learning about these subjects, we would be appalled. But that's precisely what many of us do with religion, including plenty who continue to show up at our places of worship and go through the motions. We've rejected the childlike stuff, but we never bothered to replace it with an adult version. I like that. We don't think we believe like we did as children, but we haven't decided what to put in its place. That's part of looking at the basics, to go back and say, what did we believe and where are we now? The author goes on to say this, to find this kind of religion, we need to seek out and, if necessary, create communities of faith that embrace wise and loving versions of our faith. We need to understand that faith at its best is a form of protest against self-absorption, materialism, triviality, and cruelty of modern life. Thank you, Wall Street Journal. We need to understand what we know now and not be stuck just in what we understood as children. Today, we're going to be talking about Jesus, and I loved the children's answers. And let me be honest with you, there was absolutely nothing wrong with what they, as children, understand Jesus to be about. It's appropriate, if you're a child, to say the things that they did, and some of them were actually very profound, weren't they? It's okay. Many of you have known about Jesus your whole life. Many of you sat in churches and said the same kinds of things, learned the same kind of Sunday school lessons, and that was good. It's important to have that basic. But we sometimes need more than that, than just a basic understanding of Jesus. Because sometimes it falls kind of short. And believe it or not, people want to know about Jesus. One of my professors in seminary was from Africa, and he said that when missionaries would go to areas that people had never heard a thing about Jesus, the missionaries would start with God and the Holy Spirit, and they'd say, stop, wait a minute. We know about God. There's some beautiful stories of creation in the African stories. If you haven't ever read them, go and do that. They know about Creator God. They said, we understand the spirit, the wind moving through each person. We get that. Don't tell us about that. Tell us about this person named Jesus. Why is he special and why should we care? And when the missionaries would do that, that's when they would begin to attract people who were interested in the story. But did you know that that happens today still? They say that the number one question that people who don't go to church have is, who is Jesus and what can he do for me? Who is Jesus and what can he do for me? That's a great question, isn't it? Can you answer it? Can you answer the question for yourself, who is Jesus and what can he do for me? If someone came up to you in the parking lot on your way out and said, you just came out of there, who's Jesus? What'd you learn today? Who's Jesus and what can he do for me? Could you answer that question? I didn't ask if you want to, but could you? We tend as Methodists not to be too evangelical. Most of you aren't going to go stand in the 16th Street Mall and proclaim Jesus. As a matter of fact, I doubt any of you are. But that doesn't mean we don't have opportunity, that we don't have opportunity to share who Jesus is. So how do we get that answer? How do we find the answer? You're an educated bunch. You all know how to do research. So you could research it and get the answer that way, but you'll get all kinds of things. So how do we know? Where do we find out who Jesus is? Well, I suppose the most interesting and obvious is here in this Bible. There's all kinds of ways of learning about Jesus, and Chris read for us this passage from Philippians where Paul is telling us who Jesus is. You remember a few weeks ago I talked about the Bible and suggested you find yours? This would have been a great week for that. But anyway, just saying. And if you're looking in a Bible and you can't find Philippians, you know the trick, don't you? General Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, because they're all little tiny. And so if you find one of them, just remember General Electric Power Company and you'll find them. So we find Philippians. I don't know if you use that trick or not. You had it printed out, I saw. But so you can find Philippians if you wanted. And she read from chapter 2. And so here's how you tell people who Jesus is. You say that Jesus was God but wasn't equal to God. And Jesus emptied himself and hung on a cross and became obedient. And that's Jesus. How do you think that'll go? Exactly. So sometimes the Bible isn't as helpful as we would like it to be. Now, Philippians, they think, was written in the late 50s, early 60s AD, and that makes it one of the earliest writings we have about Jesus. Probably only Galatians is older, and just by a few years. And when I say oldest, it's even older than the Gospels. Paul's letters were written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So this is like the first stuff that people were hearing and writing and reading about Jesus. And some of it's kind of tricky. And you all know the story, and you still might have wondered. Maybe it gets better as you read on, and there's the idea that the name of Jesus, every knee should bend and every head should bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So that isn't going to help you either. When someone asks you who Jesus is, you talk about him being crucified and say, then because of that, you all should proclaim and praise him. I don't think that's what people are asking when they say, who is Jesus and what can he do for me? And we're going to be trapped a little if we have to rely on just Philippians, because there's more, isn't there? There's the gospel stories of Jesus, and those are great. But some people want to know things like, was Jesus real? Was Jesus real? And some people will point to the historian Josephus. You may have heard of him. He wrote this big, big volume about the history of Jews, including Jesus. And he writes some words that sound kind of like Paul, actually. And he also writes about a man named Jesus who was crucified. And so historians have long pointed to that piece and said, see, Jesus was real. It was recorded in antiquity. Isn't that wonderful? And yes, because I've done that myself until recently. I've been reading, they're not sure. They think that perhaps those pieces in Josephus that point to Jesus as real were added centuries later by the Catholic Church to support the position. I don't know which is right. I wasn't there. Either were you. We don't know. The scholarship goes both ways on that. How do we prove if Jesus was real? There's a more modern group called the Jesus Seminar. You may have heard of them. They do a lot of research on what did Jesus truly say. Their quest is to find the historic Jesus, and they say, yes, there was Jesus. They accept that. But then they say, what did Jesus say? What parts of Jesus are true? And that gets a lot harder. Some of you have seen those Bibles where the words of Jesus are in red. So what they did is they took all of those red words and started to study them to determine if they truly were the words of Jesus. If it was in all four Gospels, they said definitely. If it was in one, they said, oh, it's getting kind of sketchy. In two and three, they did more research to understand if it truly was the words of Jesus. And they created, you can actually get their whole Bible that tells you what Jesus said and didn't say based on their research. Well, that's good. But they went further finally because they realized that being so legalistic wasn't working for them. And they said, we don't know what Jesus said. There can't be 100% surety about any of his phrases or sentences. But we do know that things that he said, the theme is true. When Jesus talks about love, we see that theme throughout. Now, we don't know if he said exactly this sentence or phrase, but we know he talked about love. We know that Jesus talked about everyone belongs at the table. We know that Jesus ate with people that everyone else thought he shouldn't. We know those parts of it. And so what they say is it doesn't matter exactly the words he said, but that he said these ideas and themes. What you believe about all of that is up to you to decide and define. One of the amazing things about being a Methodist, but one of the most difficult things is I don't have to give you the answer. I can't give you the answer. You have to come to the answer yourself. All I can do is help give you tools. And some of those tools about Jesus are kind of this spectrum that people decide. One is your Christology. And maybe you've heard people ask you, what's your Christology? It's a great word. What does it mean, though? It means, do you see Jesus as fully human, that Jesus was a person that walked around on this earth and just a person? Or do you see Jesus as fully divine, that he wasn't truly human at all, but just of God? Not just, he was of God and of spirit. And that's a spectrum. And you can be anywhere on that spectrum and be a Methodist. Now, most of us, most Methodists, are somewhere in the middle. One side or the other, maybe of that middle, but in the middle. Because we believe that Jesus walked among us, that the physical Jesus was here. But we also believe that Jesus was divine and of God. And some combination therein is who Jesus is to us. There's also this idea that goes along with it of Jesus as Savior. And some people say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and that's one end of the spectrum, and they say, that's all that matters. I know that, and that's all I need to know. And then there are people who say, oh no, Jesus was an amazing man. Even people who aren't Christians say that. He taught us all kinds of wonderful things, how to live in this world. But we're Methodists. So we don't believe either of those extremes to be completely true, but we're somewhere in the middle on one side or the other of that, a combination to give us our picture of Jesus. But sometimes in the midst of that, we forget to define it for ourselves. One of the other things that you'll hear people talk about is Jesus, and sometimes people will talk about Christ, and maybe you've wondered if there's a difference in the two, and maybe that helps your understanding, help you understand your Christology. What's the difference between Jesus and Christ? Well, Jesus was the human person, divine, yes, but that walked among us, the historic person that was crucified. That's Jesus. But then there's a resurrection and life beyond that when Jesus again walks amongst the people and teaches them some more. And that's Christ, the after Easter person. And you might balance for yourself which one of those is more important. And that might help you define what the role of Jesus is and how you understand Jesus. There's a lot more of those, but that's just some of them that you might stop and think about. Who is Jesus? And what can he do for you? Who is Jesus? Could you define Jesus yet? Are you getting closer as you think about it, as you hear about it? Now, some of you have always been able to do that, I know, but some of the rest of you may have been struggling. Have you ever been asked if you're one of those Christians? Have you ever been asked that? Have you ever had people say to you, well, this happens to me because of what I do for a living, oh, you're a pastor? Are you one of those Christians? And you know who they mean, don't you? By those Christians. They're the Christians that we aren't. They're the Christians we don't want to be associated with or be called those Christians. And it's hard to be called Christian these days sometimes. Oh, not in here. If I ask you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a Christian, they'd all accept that. You'd be okay. You'd be okay to say, I am a Christian in this place. But when you leave today, that same person that's walking their dog out there, could you just say to them, hi, I'm a Christian? I hope I don't have to be honest with you, because that word has been loaded these days with a lot of baggage because of those Christians. The word Christian has come to mean people who are judgmental of those who aren't like them. The word Christian has come to mean those who draw a narrow box. The word Christian has come to mean those who follow what they say Jesus said and did, whether anybody else thinks so or not. And it's hard. So no, I'm not one of those Christians, and I don't think any of you are either. But who is Jesus? And if I can't claim to be Christian anymore because it's a difficult world, who am I? Who am I? One of the terms that's kind of risen in popularity lately is Jesus follower. I am a follower of Jesus. Because that maybe sounds different. What does that mean? Again, you got to be able to define Jesus to say if you're following Jesus or not. I'm a follower of Jesus. And maybe Paul can help us, even though I've already poo-pooed his letter to the Philippians and said no. But yes. Because early on, this text says to us, do nothing from self-ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. What? If you're a follower of Jesus, you have to consider others better than you. And now it's going to get even harder. Are you ready? At verse 4, Paul writes, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Ooh, what does it mean to be a Christ follower? To not look after yourself, to look after others, to not worry about your own ambition, but to make the world a place for others. I don't know, that sounds hard. But it also sounds like what we've been asked to do. To have the mind of Christ. Do you have that mind? I don't know. We can try. But first we have to understand what that is. I think because Michael's drawing for the bulletin this month is that chalkboard, that just keeps me makes me think about homework. Some of you a couple of weeks ago actually did your homework around the Lord's Prayer. You rewrote it in your own language. I ask you to do, if you hadn't, you still could. You can do that anytime. If you didn't, that's okay. But maybe writing the Lord's Prayer in your own language would still be helpful as you do this next homework, a prerequisite, if you will. I appreciated those who sent, some people actually sent me their Lord's Prayer rewrite. Oh, that was powerful. But if you're going to talk about Jesus, maybe you need to look at the Lord's Prayer again. But this is your homework for this week. Write on the top of a piece of paper or type it or scroll it into your phone or whatever it is you do. Who is Jesus and what can he do for me? And write out the answer. What you believe today, what you think is true, because I'm going to do homework this week too. Not that, because I already have that answer for myself. But this is my homework this week. I'm going to pray really hard for all of you to be asked that question. I'm going to pray really hard for someone to come up to you while you are squeezing the tomatoes at King Soopers and say to you, "Who is Jesus? And what can he do for me?" So I want you to be ready and prepared. Okay, I know that's not going to happen. I know nobody's going to ask you that question in the grocery store or at the farmer's market or wherever else you may find yourself, at school, nowhere. People aren't going to ask you that. I understand that. But I want you to be ready, because I'm going to keep praying for you to be asked. And I want you to have the answer, because the question is going to sound different. It's going to be something like having coffee with a friend, or visiting with someone in the Xerox room at work, or wherever it may be. Someone's going to say to you, "Oh, this is hard. The world is hard. I'm so worried about the environment. I'm so worried about the future. I'm leaving my children. I'm so scared. What do we do? What do we do?" And do you know what you can tell them? Let me tell you about a place I find hope. Let me tell you about this Jesus. Or let me tell you that I'm a follower of Jesus. Let me tell you what makes a difference in my life. Even if you never talk about Jesus, maybe you talk about religion or church or faith or hope, or however you would define that. My guess is all of us this week will run across somebody who's got something going on, and they're looking. They're looking for the answer to that question, even if they don't know it. Be ready this week to engage in that dialogue, not to pound your Bible and evangelize, but to give hope, to give witness, to help people understand that there is in this world a place and a way to come together to find hope. It won't be easy. I know that. But that's why we do our homework, to be ready and to be prepared. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, I pray for the people of this church, that throughout this week you will place someone in their path that needs to hear about you. Someone that wants to know who is Jesus. Help them struggle for themselves so that they're ready. When someone needs to hear, so that they're ready to give hope into a world that needs it, to offer a place for people to come together. Give them those opportunities, God. Amen. Our closing song is Lord of the Dance, and there's a lot of verses, but we're going to sing them all, because without them, we don't hear the whole story. This is the story of Jesus in song. It's the story of Jesus that's important. So let's sing the whole thing, and let's stand up and sing it like we understand what these words are about as we continue to grow in the basics. I invite you to stand as you are able to sing Lord of the Dance.
Thank you.
from this place ready to answer, who is Jesus and what can he do for you? Go ready to encounter those opportunities. Go in peace. Amen.
Answers from that email I sent.
Oh.
Huh?